Very thankful
to be here this morning. Thankful for each one of you. Let's open with prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for life, for breath. Lord, for your sustaining power and your sustaining grace. Lord, I pray that you would be here with us this morning, Lord, that you would challenge our hearts, that you would challenge us in the way that we live and the way that we walk to be living and walking in a way that would honor and glorify Christ, would lift up and exalt our Savior who is so worthy. Lord, as we open your word and spend this time together around it, I pray that we might be drawn close. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start this morning in Proverbs 23, verse 7. And this verse is so, part of it is so quoted that I didn't really consciously realize that it wasn't in multiple places in Proverbs, because it's very, very commonly quoted. And I was trying hard to find other places where it says this same phrase, and I can't seem to come across any, but we're going to begin in Proverbs 23, verse 7. The concept is definitely throughout Scripture, even though the wording I only find in this one place. But it says in the beginning of the verse here, Proverbs 23, beginning with verse 7, he says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." And it's speaking here in context about a man who is trying to butter you up. He says, eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. But this phrase, in many ways, is very standalone. It holds true on its own, aside from the context, aside from the rest of the verse. And it's proved out in the rest of Scripture that as you and I think in our hearts, as we dwell, as we feel, as we truly believe, that's the way we're going to live our life. That's the way we truly are. We like to think of ourselves as being better than that sometimes when we have, you know, what people call intrusive thoughts or have dark thoughts. Many times we like to think, well, I'm actually better than that. I wouldn't actually do that. But the warning and the reality of the matter is that if you dwell on it long enough, you will actually do that. The truth of the matter is that if you allow that to root and to take place in your life, it will become the way you live your life. We don't put many times enough importance and enough value, but not so much value as in that it has inherent value, but enough importance and thought many times into how we think and what we think and how we perceive things, how we allow ourselves to dwell on things. Many of you know Brother Ezra, missionary down in Brazil. He made a statement a few years back that just really stuck with me, and I've been thinking about it for quite a few years, and it keeps coming back to mind. He said, "You will never make better decisions than what you believe. You will never make better decisions than what you think, than how you think." You and I tend to get the perspective many times that it's, we can separate it. We can think whatever we want to think as long as we don't do anything off of it, right? And Scripture actually teaches us that we have to guard our minds, we have to guard our hearts, we have to be intentional about what we allow to remain in there, because it's going to come out. And it's very important for us to be conscious and take the thought, take the action, be proactive about how I'm thinking, how I'm allowing myself to believe in relation to a situation, in relation to another person, in relation to God. If I allow myself to come to the conclusion, to dwell on it, to think on it, to soak in it, that, boy, I don't know, that brother or that sister, when they did such and such a thing, I think they were trying to slight me. I'm not sure that, I don't know if they really were being nice to me. And if I allow myself to soak in that and dwell on that, and absorb that and just marinate in it, pretty soon that's going to flavor my perspective of everything else that they do. On a relationship between me and God, if I believe that He's got charge of everything and He's in control of everything, I'm going to act in a certain way. If I believe that He's not, that I'm not quite sure, if I allow doubts and worries and frets to rule my life, I'm going to begin to act on them, right? So as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Jesus here, I'm going to hit just a couple of brief spots where Jesus is talking to different people. He says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 and 35, he's speaking here to the Pharisees. He says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Well, no, I was just saying that because of what you said. No, you were saying that because it's inside of you. It came out because it was in there to begin with, right? A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. So, you know, the perspective that we like to give ourselves, the excuse we like to give ourselves many times is, well, I just did what I did because they did what they did. But in reality, Christ teaches us, Scripture teaches us, hey, if it comes out, it proves it's in there to begin with. It can't come out if it's not in there. You can't get orange juice from a grape because there's no orange juice in a grape. If you, no matter how hard you squeeze the grape, you're going to get grape juice and grape pulp and maybe some grape seed oil. But no matter how hard you squeeze that grape, you will never get orange juice. You'll never get milk. You'll never get water because that's not in there to begin with. You can't get something out of somewhere that wasn't in there from the beginning, that wasn't in there to start with. So if I blow up and react, I go, well, it was just the situation. Well, it was just the way that they just rubbed me the wrong way. Well, it was just this. It was just that. And Christ says, and Scripture says, hey, if it came out, it's because it's in there to begin with. And he says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Now, this is somewhat of a sliding scale in many ways. It's not 100% pure good and 100% pure evil all the time. We can have a lot of good in there that comes out in a lot of situations, and then we can have some bad in there that we need to deal with that we're not maybe dealing with properly that comes out in a certain other situation. Just because I react bad in one situation doesn't mean I'm worthless and to be thrown away. But if it came out, it's because it's in there to begin with. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? How are you going to come off with truth if you're living based off of a lie? How are you going to have good and uplifting and beneficial things to say when your whole perspective and idea is built on trying to tear people down? How are you going to have good treasures to bring out of your heart if they're not in there? You're not going to have anything good to say because there's nothing good in there to bring forth. Mark 7, verse 20 through 23 says, Jesus again speaking, and he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth a man. Because the Pharisees are saying, oh, you're eating without washing your hands. Now, I like to wash my hands before I eat, but they were doing it in a ceremonial way, in and attaching spiritual significance to it and saying, oh, you're gonna get all that filthy stuff from the world into you and it's gonna defile you. Jesus said, hey, what defiles you is what comes out of a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within. And Jesus says, they defile the man. Those are the things that defile the man. Not eating something that might give you a tummy ache. I mean, there's a sense in which that's going to defile you, right? But that's not going to make you as a human being, as an individual, be a defiled or filthy person. That's only going to affect your body. But who you really are on the inside is affected by what's on the inside. Jesus says, hey, you're not going to have the right and the good and the proper and the wholesome response if everything filling up your mind and your heart that you're dwelling on and you're soaking in and you're allowing to ruminate in you is not good and wholesome and loving and kind. It's going to come out. Sometimes we are very good at putting on a front, right? Sometimes we're very good at portraying just the picture we want people to see for maybe years at a time, but then all of a sudden something happens and it just snaps and all of a sudden you see what that person really is like, right? Well, it was in there the whole time. It didn't just happen because of the situation. It came out because it was in there to begin with. And you and I are not going to perform or walk in a way that is better than where we are in our minds, in our hearts, what we believe, what we're allowing ourselves to dwell on. If I believe that I need a Savior, I will consciously depend on Him rather than walking in my own strength or wisdom. If I believe, if I truly believe I need a physician to heal my soul, where's the room for pride? Where's the room for getting frustrated when somebody else has a issue with me and feeling like, oh, well, you're just trying to drag me down. You're just trying to destroy me. I heard a preacher say one time, whenever people talk bad about him, he said, I'm learning. I try to be like, yeah, you're right. That is how I am. By God's grace, I'm trying to overcome that. But you're right, I am flawed, I am failing, I am weak. Because many times we like to think, well, I have faults, but I am not at fault. I have weaknesses, but I am not weak. I have frailties, but I'm not frail. Scripture teaches us that if it's coming out, it's because it was in there to begin with. If I realize that I'm weak, I'm not going to think I'm got it and find myself 10 miles down the road and suddenly realize I've lost track of where the shepherd is. If I realize that I'm not going to make it on my own, I'm going to be intentionally, conscientiously keeping track of where my shepherd is and looking to Him and saying, God, I need You. I'm depending on You. I don't have this. Rather than going, oh yeah, we're good. You can walk along with me if you want to. Let's be buddies. And then realize later on down the road, I'm in trouble. But I wasn't in trouble when that situation overwhelmed me. I was in trouble when I decided and thought in my mind and in my heart that I had it all figured out. I was in trouble because I started off in my head in the wrong place to begin with. I started off in my head thinking I was good to go. If I believe I need a Savior, I'm going to be looking to Him. If I believe I'm nothing, that I don't have it in myself, I won't be lifted up in pride. If I believe His grace is sufficient, I'll cling to it, right? I'll walk by faith instead of by fear, instead of by sight, instead of by feelings. If I believe there's a whole list of things that I deserve, I'm going to be discontent. And when I receive things that are blessings, instead of receiving them as a gift or a blessing from God, I'm going to see them as just a really an inferior payment on a debt of things that I'm really deserve that I'm still just waiting to get the rest of, right? It all starts in my perspective. If I realize, hey, I deserve nothing, every mercy and grace of God is going to be a fresh, powerful, vibrant sunrise in my soul of, wow, I can't believe he cares about me that much. I can't believe that he's that gracious to me in spite of who I am. It all starts in my mind. It all starts in my perspective. You will never make better decisions than what you believe or than how you think. You're never going to... We don't live in a vacuum. We're never going to just randomly happen to make the right decision if all day long, every day, all through the week, I am allowing my brain and my heart and my mind to dwell on the wrong thing, right? Scripture talks about our mind a lot. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 7, he says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded," that's fleshly minded, that's based here in this earth, "is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." If I'm allowing the way that I think to be shaped by my surroundings, by my circumstances, by my natural instincts, Scripture tells me that leads to death. That leads to death. If I'm being changed, let's just skip on down a couple chapters, right? Romans chapter 12, verse 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If my mind is being transformed to be spiritually minded, what did Romans 8 say? That's life and peace. I don't know. Man, we're going to have to weigh this out, right? On one hand, you could have death, and on the other hand, you could have life and peace. I don't know. Which way do we want to go, right? It's pretty obvious. One way is death, and one way is life and peace. But yet, how often we don't look at the things we allow in our minds and the way we allow our minds to dwell and to marinate and function on things. We don't look at them quite so black and white, right? We look at it, well, I feel justified to feel this way, so I'm going to continue to feel this way, even though, yeah, ultimately maybe I should forgive, but I don't want to forgive. It feels good to feel justly vindictive. It feels good to feel like somebody wronged me and to nurse that bitterness and that hurt feelings and that frustration. And so, yeah, I know I probably shouldn't, but I'll change my attitude later on. And what are you doing? You're caring for and feeding death. You're caring for and feeding death as though it was a pet. Saying, I know I'm going to have to butcher you later on, but right now we're going to just take really good care of you. I know that later on, eventually, we're going to have to deal with this issue because this is going to grow to be a monster, right? But right now it's so cute and cuddly and it feels nice, so I'm going to continue to feed it. I'm going to continue to dwell in this mindset that, yeah, it's not the best. I really should change it, but I'll change it later. The mighty oak tree starts with an acorn. And when it's a little sapling, I can pull it out with my fingertips. And it's easy to pull out. It's easy to throw away. It doesn't damage anything. It doesn't make a difference, right? Once it's grown to be an oak tree that's fully grown, I'm going to need some equipment. I'm going to have to make sure and clear some stuff out of the way so I don't crush anything. I'm going to have to get a big old stump grinder out and grind it down. I'm going to have probably, depending on right now, you know, with all the rain, I'm going to have big old deep ruts in the grass from all the equipment I had to bring in to deal with this. Well, it just started as a little seed. But what seed am I planting? What seed am I cultivating? Am I cultivating that spiritual mind that brings life and peace, or am I cultivating that carnal mind? It feels comfy right now, but it brings death. Which am I nurturing and petting on? I want to hit just a couple of general warnings that are given us in Scripture. Galatians 6:3, he says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." 1 Corinthians 8:2, "If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know." Scripture is very explicit in its warnings on how we think. And it's easy for us, it's very natural for us, it's to feel like it doesn't matter how I think as long as I don't do the wrong thing, right? I'm policing my actions, but I can feel how I want to feel. I mean, you can't tell me that my feelings are wrong, right? How many times have you heard that expressed in words or at least in attitude? Well, you can't tell me that my feelings are wrong. You might not like my actions, but you can't tell me my feelings are wrong, and yet they're so intertwined. You didn't get to those actions just out of the clear blue sky. You got to those actions because you nursed those feelings. Scripture has so much to say about how I use my mind and how I don't use my mind, what I allow to dwell in there and to ruminate in there, and what I take hold of. That brings us to our next section, taking charge. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 through 5, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." What am I letting my mind dwell on? That determines my actions. If I'm dwelling on impurity, it's going to come out in my actions. If I'm dwelling on things that I'm coveting, it breeds discontent, greed, grasping. If I'm dwelling on worries and fears, it breeds anxieties. It causes me to make decisions based out of that. It causes me to live in fear because of what's happening between my ears. And so many times, I've thought of this passage in 2 Corinthians in relation to immorality and evil desires in that case. And it certainly applies to that, right? But it also applies to any other kind of bad thinking and impure thoughts. Casting down imaginations. Are you letting your imagination run wild on what if this happens and what if that happens and how am I going to deal with this situation if it arises, and what if my kid breaks his head open and dies? What if the car breaks down? What if? Casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against knowledge of God. Do you know the character of the God you serve? Are you casting down anything that exalts itself against that? Are you casting down anything that would say, hey, does God really care? Anything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God given us in Scripture and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It doesn't start when I begin to act out. It starts between my ears. It starts in my mind. And I will never be able to police my actions sufficiently to keep myself in line as long as my mind is running rampant and just living it up however it wants. What am I feeding my mind on? Again, you will never make better decisions or choices than you believe or than how you think. So now, lest we be overwhelmed with all the negatives and the don'ts. Let's look at a couple of do's. What does that look like? How can I be spiritually minded? What does it look like? Because your mind can't exist in a vacuum. I don't know if you've ever tried to think about nothing. It doesn't work. You are going to be thinking about something. And if you only are trying to police and pull out all the things you shouldn't think about, you're going to run yourself ragged trying to police your mind, trying to police your ideas and your thoughts. So let's look at what do you fill it with? Because instead of just trying to pull all those things out, what can I fill it with? How can I be spiritually minded? Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 gives us a list of things that we should think about. It's easy sometimes for us to identify the things that we shouldn't think about, though it's a lot harder for us to get them out of our mind on a regular, long-lasting basis, right? But what are we filling it with? What should I be thinking about? Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. He says, "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." So not just the things we don't think about, not just the perspectives we don't allow ourselves to hold, but what do I think about? Things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, things of good report, things that have virtue, things that are praiseworthy. He said, think on these things. We have to be careful what we're feeding our mind on. Scripture talks many times and uses the mind and the heart interchangeably, and he says, guard your heart. Out of it are the issues of life. Everything you do comes out of there. But that word is just as often translated as mind. Guard what's inside of you, because that's going to determine the course of your life. Not just standing guard against the things coming in, but choosing, consciously saying, okay, what am I going to spend my time thinking about? What am I going to enjoy? What am I going to soak and marinate in my mind? Am I going to think about how bad things are financially and economically and politically? Or am I going to, acknowledge those things, realize they're real, be informed as much as I need to be to live my life, but not dwell on them, and rather say, hey, what is God doing in the world around me? What is God doing in people's lives? It's so easy to get consumed by all of the things that happen in the news. The news is the most negative thing, because the things that always make the most news are the things that are negative, right? The things that are catastrophes, the scandals and the terrible things that are going on. And people eat it up. You so seldom find a news report that's just like, hey, somebody did a kind deed for somebody. Somebody found a way to solve this problem. Somebody cared that somebody else was having a hard day. Somebody found the Lord. Somebody found freedom. Those don't make the news. But those are the things Scripture tells us. Hey, find those things. Take time to intentionally plant them in your mind and dwell on them. Those are the things that you should be thinking about. Take time to find out the praises from your missionaries, not just the prayer requests, not just the terrible things going on in our world, but find out, hey, God is moving. Some young people came to the Lord. Some old people came to the Lord. Someone broke their leg and they're doing better. God provided in a miraculous way for a need. Somebody showed kindness even when they were being mistreated. And Scripture tells us, hey, make it a habit. Go out of your way to find those things and dwell on them. Fill your mind up with them. Fill your mind up with things that are lovely. Fill your mind up with good news, good reports, he says. Not just all the bad news, not just all the worries and, oh, the stock market, I don't know. But the good news, the good reports, the things that are lovely, the things that are wonderful. He's not saying stick your head in the sand. He's saying don't dwell on those things that are just going to lead to discouragement, lead to fear, lead to worries, lead to anger, lead to frustration. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 2, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. If my perspective is from up here looking down, these little things don't bother me near so much. If my perspective is all absorbed with these things around, I find it hard to lift my eyes and see anything above and beyond that. But if my affections, if my mindset, if my things that I enjoy dwelling on are things above, things that are lovely, things that are wonderful, he says, that's where I should be sitting, setting my affection. Then I'm looking down. And these things, yeah, oh man, I'm sorry. I'm sorry it went that way. I wish it hadn't. But it doesn't destroy me. It doesn't consume my peace. It doesn't cause me to start doubting God's goodness. It doesn't cause me to live in fear or in trepidation or worry because, yeah, those things are real. Those things are true, but that's not the ultimate truth in reality. The ultimate truth in reality is God is still on the throne. Christ is still sitting at the right hand of God. He's still in charge. He still knows what's going on. God's time frame can't be messed with. When God says it's time and he says it's time to bring the church home and it's time to judge our enemy, there's nothing that anyone or anything, all the power of hell cannot stop God's purposes. Am I dwelling on that? Is that my perspective? Is that my viewpoint? Or is my viewpoint, man, I just don't know. I don't know if our economy can recover from this. I don't know if our nation can recover from the way that things are going. I don't know if I'm going to financially recover from this situation that I'm facing. I don't know if I can... I don't know. But am I focusing on the things I don't know or am I focusing on the things I do know? He's still in charge. He's still righteous. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Set your affections on things above, not on things on this earth. And Jesus said in Luke, chapter 12, verse 34, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The things that I value, the things I care about, that's what I'm going to be working towards. The things that I allow my mind to dwell on, that's what I'm going to be even subconsciously trying to pursue. If I'm allowing my mind to dwell on things and go to places and run around in places that it ought not to be, it's going to begin to show up in the way that I live my life and the decisions that I make. Because that's where I'm allowing the treasure of my heart to sit and to rest. whether it's my reputation or my or finances or worries or fears or frets, any of those things, they're going to determine where I'm placing value. They're going to determine how I'm making decisions. Because I make decisions based on the goals I want to achieve. And if the goals I want to achieve are based on what I'm thinking about, I better be really careful about what I'm thinking about. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let's pray. Father, we long to learn of you, Lord, to guard our hearts and our minds, to be able to say with Christ that the God of this world has nothing in me. Lord, I long for that to be true and real in my mind, in my heart. Lord, teach us to plant the right things and to guard against the wrong things, Lord, to be careful, to be intentional, not just in our actions, not just in what other people around can see, but in the way we think, in the way we allow our brains to run, that we might bring those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. In your precious holy name, I pray. Amen.